Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, my name is Justin, and this is Inverse, that you're either watching or listening. We're so glad that you guys decided to tune in with us. We have Jonathan and Israel and Siku. How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
And hopefully you guys are doing good outside, out there, if you're in that in the outer world. We are going to go into the Bible. That's what we do here. And we've been looking at a lot of different elements on the Great Controversy. Great Controversy is a theme, it's a motif about the cosmic war between good and evil. It's a theme that you find all throughout the scriptures. And this is some of the, these are some of the topics that we're looking at. We're going to look at prayer and angels under the rubric of this episode called Spiritual Warfare, Part 1. We'll have a word of prayer. And Israel, can you pray for us?
Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day of life that you've given to us. Bless us as we study your word today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. We always want to start off with prayer. We realize that the Bible is holy. It is not a regular book that you can just kind of jump into, but you always want to preface it with scripture to ask for God's Spirit to help us understand holy things. Now, if you haven't had an opportunity, we want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org, and there you'll see all the other topics that we've studied and talked about all throughout the years, and this is the one called The Great Controversy. We'll go into Daniel chapter 10, and Jonathan, Daniel chapter 10. If you can read Daniel chapter 10 for us, where should we start? So it's a longer chapter, maybe not read all of it. Let's see, maybe we can start from verse 10.
Sure.
Onwards.
Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come.
Okay, we'll stop there. I love this, what we're doing here. Like, we're looking at this drama between good and evil, and we've taken a closer look at each of the characters. Yeah, we've looked at Satan, we've looked at God's throne, we've looked at some of the dynamics of free will that God gives us. These are all the ingredients that are necessary for this. You know, drama. I think drama is the right word, but drama sounds like it's like a fake story. Mm-hmm. But this is the word we use, meta narrative, right? And then this is kind of my favorite part, is like we have to believe not only in God and Satan, but also in the existence of angels and other entities for all this to kind of make sense. Siku, I'll go with you. What's your initial reaction to that? Isn't it kind of weird that there's aliens and there's angels, and it's a little trippy supernaturally, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I grew up believing in angels, you know, that angels are there and they help to protect us. I think what makes it kind of trippy is media portrayal of
angels,
of the supernatural
stuff.
Yeah, and so it puts it like in a weird realm.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think that's what makes it weird, in my experience.
Yeah. And we have to go in scripture and kind of dust off some of these ideas that pop culture presents. And some of it's kind of true, some of it's totally off. I used to think that angels were all blonde haired, blue eyed, you know, Caucasian people, and the babies flying around. And you don't find any evidence of that in scripture anywhere. And anyway, there's this passage that we read in Daniel, and there's a certain dynamic that's going in Daniel 10. We're not going to really talk about what's going on, but there's a side thing that's going on. That's what we're trying to emphasize. So, Israel, maybe you can give us a background. What's going on in Daniel 10, kind of the minor background, and we'll get into actually when a hand, verse 10, a hand touched me, and we're going to talk about who that hand is and how that works out.
Yeah, so Daniel is trying to understand the prophecies that he's been reading and trying to make sense of God's will in his life and the life of his people.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, as he's praying, he doesn't know what the vision is going to be like, and mm-hmm. he faints at the thought of what is going to be taking place in the future for him and his people.
Mm-hmm.
It is during this time, during his prayer time, confessing his sins, the sins of himself, the sins of people to God, that God immediately sends an angel to go and to assist Daniel in the fulfillment of his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel does not know this. He doesn't know that he is literally moving the hand of, you know, the powerful God of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And through this prayer, God himself sends Gabriel, an angel, supernatural being, to come and to speak to him and to let him know, your prayer has been answered. You are dearly beloved by God. And even though it might not seem as though your prayer is being heard, God has been working on behalf of your request. And I think that that's what happens when we pick it up in verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gabriel comes and he tells him this, that since the time that you have been praying, that I came, Gabriel, I came to fulfill your request. I got stuck with the king of Persia. And from that point on, Michael the archangel himself had to come and help me with this struggle.
Just to on the backstory part.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in verse 2 of chapter 10.
Okay. Yeah, chapter 10, says, verse 2.
Yeah. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks.
Mm.
So this time of prayer that Israel was talking about, that he had been praying, it was 3 weeks that he was praying, because mm-hmm. it goes on, I ate no pleasant food. He was fasting and praying. Mm-hmm. So it's a long period of time that he was persevering in prayer while awaiting some kind of a response from mm-hmm. God. And then when Jonathan read the part where the angel comes and he says, where is it? In verse 12, is it?
Do not fear?
Yeah. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard.
Mm.
And I have come because of your words.
Mm-hmm.
So that he was praying for 3 full weeks. And from the very first day that he started his prayers, mm-hmm. this angel is saying, your prayers were heard from the beginning, but there were other mitigating factors that prevented the answer from coming right away.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that Daniel, just a chapter before, in chapter 9, he's a similar situation. He's praying, you can see in chapter 9, verse 3, and then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Like, he's interceding for his people. And then, in verse 20, it says, now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, the sin of my people, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision, and so on. So the angel comes flying swiftly, it says.
Mm-hmm.
So in chapter 9, we see the experience of Daniel praying, and he gets essentially an immediate answer. Like the angel shows up and gives him insight into a question he had earlier. And now in chapter 10, he's praying for 3 weeks, apparently not getting an answer, but then the angel comes and says, hey, on day one, you were already hurt, but there were situations that prevented me from coming to you. Mm-hmm. So this is very encouraging to us who, if we might be praying for a situation or some circumstance, and we may not feel like there is an answer right now, or God is not answering or hearing me. I mean, technically, I'm in a situation like that right now, as some of you know. And I'm just wondering, like, when is it going to come?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God does answer right away in various ways. Now, Daniel was privileged to, you know, see actual angels. Mm-hmm. Not all of us will necessarily experience that on this side of heaven. But this is just showing us that both is possible. Mm-hmm. But what is the common denominator is that it was heard on immediately, as you utter the prayer, as you think the prayer, God hears it in his throne room.
Yeah, dude, this is one of the few chapters where it's kind of that curtain of the great controversy, the great conflict is lifted, then you're kind of seeing like all the what are they called? Like the backstage people, they're like moving the furniture and are like, oh, I see him, we're seeing this on a spiritual level, and like sometimes when we ask God and then God either hears and doesn't answer or hears and does, we don't know exactly the exact mechanics of what's going on. But Daniel chapter 10 kind of raises that curtain. There's some things that I find very interesting. You guys kind of mentioned it, but there is a dietary component with Daniel, that dietary and health and how he treats his body really primes the hardware for his spirituality to be sensitive to spiritual things. There is health and spirituality go hand in hand, and we see evidence of that in chapter 10. But also, it's very interesting that, I don't know, if you look at verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, and which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. Now, this is Gabriel, yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah? And then, like, I look at other places. I also go, like, to Luke chapter 1, verse 19. I was looking at another place where Gabriel's mentioned. This is the birth of Jesus. It was the birth of John the Baptist. But in chapter 1, verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands at the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. So, like, just if you kind of put those pieces together, I don't know how far God is away from us. You know, we can say, oh, spiritually he's somewhere, but there's a physical place where he's at. And Gabriel is in his presence. Mm-hmm. So then we're praying this prayer, and instantaneously, like, Gabriel comes and he's touching Daniel's, was it on his shoulder? Mm-hmm. Verse 19, the hand touched me and made me tremble on my knees. So just looking at the physics of it, like, this is faster than the speed of light. This is faster than warp speed. This is faster than neutrinos. Like, there's other passages in scripture. I'm thinking of that Abraham's servant. He goes to the well looking for, and before he finishes saying the prayer, God is already answering it. So just like, these are some of the dynamics that, I don't know, a lot of times when I pray, I'm like, Lord, are my prayers being heard? Mm-hmm. But Gabriel is at the right hand of God, and he's already there, and just all this stuff is happening. And Daniel 10 just gives a lot of hope on that.
I think what's also fascinating to think about when it comes to angels and our prayers is, angels are not God, right? Mm. So angels are not omniscient. They don't understand everything, know everything. They're like us in a sense. They're created beings. They're also growing in knowledge and experience, and they're kind of like heaven's special forces. They're God's helpers, you know? And for them, they don't know the outcome of everything. They don't have insight into
the
future.
Just following orders, huh?
Right, so they're just like us, in time, experiencing life, of course, on a different level with, you know, I don't know, portals in space or whatever, however they travel.
Yeah, I don't know how they... Oh, fascinating
but
to find out.
They are also growing in their experience with God. But they also have a relationship with God. And so in their actions, they are without sin. But in their activities, they are also growing and learning.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when we do ministry, when we help people, it's like it's a reflection of that. Yeah. They do it without sin, and they are directly connected to God in a visible sense.
Yeah.
But in a way, we can almost work together with them, even though we might not, you know, talk to them directly and so on.
No, I mean, just like how we look at the characters of the Bible, and we learn salvation from how God interacted with them. They're watching us, and they're learning about, like, oh, Jonathan sinned, but then he asked for forgiveness. Oh, and they're learning about how salvation works with Jonathan and on all of us, and all of you guys
not
out
just
there,
me.
Too. Yeah.
To me, what strikes me is the fact that here you have Daniel, who is focusing on really his own experience and the experience of his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's praying, and his vision is not selfish, but it is upon himself and upon his experience. What ends up happening is that the curtain is pulled away, and he's able to see a larger picture, a larger story, and a larger narrative.
Mm-hmm.
The angel comes and explains to him, since day one of your prayer, I was dispatched by God to fulfill this prayer, but I got stuck with the king of Persia. And what that reveals, what he's revealing to him is the fact that there is a greater story that is taking place even when we're praying for things that we seem only affect us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a large, we are all interconnected. And here we go back to the fact that God gives us freedom of choice. So what happens as the angel is dispatched to help and answer the prayer of Daniel is that there are forces, evil forces, that are trying to also influence at the same time the mind of Cyrus, the king of Persia. And Gabriel is, in order to answer Daniel's request, Gabriel has to make sure that he's able to work through the king of Persia. And so he's wrestling with powers of darkness over the mind of the king of Persia to fulfill God's will. Mm-hmm. So much so that in order for him to finally prevail, Jesus himself, Michael the archangel, Jesus himself has to come and has to take part in this conflict. Mm-hmm. In order to prevail, this tells me several things. Number one, sometimes our prayers are not answered in the way in which we want sometimes they take longer because we're unaware of the fact that God is, in answering our prayers, there is a web that connects us all together that heaven must untangle. And in order for my prayer to be answered, there are other dynamics that come into play. Now, when the curtain is drawn back, what I can be sure of is the fact that I would not have changed anything, even though it might have taken longer than I wish, or even though the prayer was not answered in the way that I wished. At the end of the day, when God pulls back the curtain and I see what takes place, I'm going to say, God was wise in the way he answered my prayer request. Yeah. And this brings me a lot of comfort. Another thing that I super duper love about this passage is the fact that Jesus himself said, I'm going down there. Mm-hmm. And what that tells me is the investment that heaven has in answering my prayers. So much so that if necessary, Jesus is going to say, hold up. Let me go down there myself. Mm-hmm. And let me make sure that I take control of this situation. And when a person is struggling and praying and asking God for help, heaven is willing to empty all of itself in order to fulfill and to answer our prayers.
There's two things that I want to mention that I want to talk about. One is you kind of dropped that really just popped in there. But like, hey, verse 13 talks about Michael, and you're like, oh yeah, Michael's Jesus and the archangel. Let's talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But the other dynamic is that when we ask for prayer, does God always use angels to answer, or like how does the anatomy of prayer work?
I mean, I think some of it is a little mysterious because we do not know all the details. Okay. But obviously, angels are involved. Mm-hmm. I believe the Holy Spirit, who is also part of the Godhead, is also working. He's the one that can affect more the inner life, I think, more than maybe angels can. Although I don't know 100%. Okay, but that's the impression I get from the word and my experience.
Yeah.
But God is, you know, there are two factors here in this great controversy that we have to understand. And we already talked about them in previous episodes, that one is if you're praying for another person, whether it's the king of Cyrus or you know, your spouse or your children or somebody you know, they have free choice. And God can only affect the person to a certain extent. At some point they have to let him speak to them, or they have to make a decision, or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit can affect a person, but he cannot force a person. God will never force somebody. And so when we're praying for a person, you know, that's maybe struggling with something, or maybe they're going, you know, in a sinful way, we cannot think just because we're praying, you know, and claiming promises of the Bible that God will miraculously just change the person.
Yeah.
If the person is open and willing, or, you know.
Because God doesn't do that.
No, but he can soften the heart over time. And so intercession, ongoing intercession, I can speak from personal experience, is worth it. It is worth it, and it makes a difference. The second thing is, what you already mentioned here, is the dynamic of this great controversy when it comes to the demonic forces. So these are the fallen angels of Satan that are actively working against God and against God's work on people's hearts for their salvation. Mm-hmm. And there are these rules of engagement in this great controversy that we saw in the lesson about Job, that there are they can go to a certain amount, or they can go to a certain extent in our lives and be active there. And so
they're being given like demarcation, limitations.
Yes, there are limitations.
Like you can do this, but you cannot do this.
Right. And there seems to be back and forth in that, because with Job there was almost like a hedge of protection around him, and then God kind of withdrew some of it, you know? Yeah. So like, I don't know, we don't know all the details, but if we know that these dynamics are at play, it can help us understand, you know, why maybe our prayers are not always exactly answered the way we mm-hmm. want them or answered at all. Mm-hmm. But it's not something where we have to blame God or, oh, God doesn't hear me. Like, no, we just know that there are various dynamics that God cannot overstep.
Yeah. Because it just reminds me of, like, you know, some people, like, they're on their phones and they're trying to download something and they're like, oh, it's like they're downloading an entire app and it's just taking more than 2 seconds. They're like, oh, this is so slow. But, like, the thing is, it's transmitted to outer space. It's going to another data bank. It's accessing all this stuff. Like, there's all this other stuff going on, and we can't wait 2 seconds for, you know, like a gigabyte to download on your phone. How much more prayer? Like, and I think it's just the craziest thing that Daniel asked for a prayer, and then Angel's like, hold on, I got caught up with the Prince of Persia, like, or whatever. But I was like, I was battling some things. There's just all this world out there, which should humble us in our prayers. Like, Lord, I'm sure you're busy. The great thing I love is verse 11, and he said to me, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved." Mm. Right? So it just shows you, like, the greeting that Gabriel has when coming to him is like, "Hey, you are greatly beloved, not by me, although Gabriel, I'm sure Gabriel does love the guy, but by God." Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're the whole heavenly, all the agencies are working to answer your prayer here.
Yeah. That's just awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah, and talking about how awesome it is, that there are ideas about God that, because we say God cannot be changed, you know, he doesn't change. The ideas about God that, well, whatever he's going to do, he's going to do, and you can't change it. Mm-hmm. But what this shows us is that, incredibly, prayer has power to influence the way even God does stuff. Mm. Not that we change God in his character and his being, but in terms of what he's actually going to do, like, somehow it seems from this text that our prayers impact divine reality, you know, the way that God's going to conduct himself. And so when Daniel prays, it somehow sets off a chain of events that perhaps had he not prayed would not have begun, right? And so our prayers actually impact our reality and the reality of the world. It's incredible that a God who is so powerful and omniscient, I mean, all the things that God is, that we can participate in the flow of history through our prayers to even quote move the arm
profound.
Of God.
And there's something in the dynamics when it comes to this, because prayer is war in this conflict, that when I've experienced this personally, when I pray with people or for people, and you can just tell that in that moment of prayer, what happens spiritually, let's say you have a person that maybe is not really connected to God, but maybe they're willing to pray, okay? You pray with them, and in an instant, God now has access to this person. Satan will, if you are praying, it's like a dome of protection around you. Satan has no more access to that person, at least for a short time here, while you're interceding. And in that brief instant, God can touch a heart in a way that we could never with 1,000 sermons. I've seen this happen multiple times with individuals, and the prayer was even like about small things. You wouldn't even think something big would happen, but the prayer is done, and there are tears in their eyes. And they can't even find the words of what the Holy Spirit just did to them, because they don't even understand, you know, all these things. But then also in other situations, I've experienced stuff where the demonic forces were clearly at work, and all you can do is, you know, intercede that Michael, you know, Jesus will show up and make a difference, and he will.
Yeah. Well, I want to come back to that point, because when Ezra was saying, so it's a profound point, that not only does God answer our prayers and he empties the heavenly, the resources and agencies of the angels to answer our prayers, but then he sends his best. Mm-hmm. He sends Michael. Just if there's someone out there who are like, wait a minute, what? I'm not connecting, seeing that. Can you guys help elucidate that point? Mm-hmm. Because it's not mentioned directly from the text in verse 13 on that.
On Michael?
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, we have to remember that Jesus is a name that the Son of God received when he was born, all right? He wasn't named Jesus before. Names are titles, all right? So Jesus means God is salvation. Michael means who is like God.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are titles. Mm-hmm. And so here, Michael's introduced us in Daniel. He's also mentioned in Revelation and the book of Jude. And every time he's mentioned, he is superior to the angels. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned as an archangel. That just means leader of the angels. Doesn't mean he's an angel himself. But we see that this role that Michael plays is one that is above the standard angel, so to say, above Gabriel even, mm-hmm. who is the highest, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the most sense to understand him as being Jesus, mm-hmm. as being the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. And just a couple of texts from the New Testament about Michael.
Yes.
We see Michael as an angel, but from Jude 9.
Jude,
the book. It's a good one.
Just before Revelation.
Yep, go for it.
Jude 9, it says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Mm-hmm. Here we've got whoever this Michael, the archangel, the chief of the angels, mm-hmm. is in a conflict with the devil over the body of Moses, uh-huh. right here. Uh-huh. We see Michael not just as an angel, but as an archangel, mm-hmm. chief of the angels.
Yep.
And then another one that is helpful is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. 16?
Okay, 14?
16.
16.
Yes, mm-hmm. 16. And it's talking about how the dead will be raised, right? And it says when Jesus comes again. Mm-hmm. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Mm-hmm. So that this voice of an archangel being attributed to the Lord himself, and this voice of an archangel has the power to raise the dead. Mm-hmm. So it can't just be any old regular angel. Already it's been identified.
Yeah, you compare that with John 5:25 says, "Most assuredly I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son mm-hmm. of God, mm-hmm. and those who hear will live." So they got the voice of Son of God in John 5, you got the voice of the archangel in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's comparing the Son of God with
the archangel.
Just have some text to support that.
I kind of think of it as like in the United States, we have the Commander-in-Chief, which is the President of the United mm-hmm. States. Mm-hmm. He's considered the leader of the U.S. military, even though he himself doesn't walk around with a gun and, you know.
He's a civilian.
Yeah. And so he is part of the military, but he's not a soldier that fights mm-hmm. in the military. He's mm-hmm. still the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I look at this situation.
So there's interesting reality, supernatural realities here. What are some things, really quick, on how we can today, with our phones and texts and laptops and whatever, to be mindful of this reality?
Mm. I think firstly, just the recognition that when we pray, God hears us the moment that we pray. We don't have to repeat it 10,000 times. He heard you the first time. The tarrying time, the waiting time, having an understanding and a trust that God is working it out to answer the prayer that he heard the first time I said it.
Yeah, very cool, very cool.
I think when I pray and I pray over and over and over and over again, it's not so much to change the heart of God.
The
mind of God. He already has a mind to act on my behalf, but oftentimes the more I pray, the more I see that there's something in my life that I need to change. Mm. So prayer is not to change the mind of God, but the heart of the prayer.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you spend time in his presence, mm-hmm. you feel the change you need. For me, it's don't give up in intercession when you pray for other people and situations. Sometimes in the spiritual warfare, God needs a prayer warrior. So I just want to encourage people to keep praying.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's your prayer to access these heavenly realities, these agencies, these resources, the angels, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, Michael the Archangel, who are willing to answer your prayers, but have to work some things out in the spiritual war that we're at. That has been just an enormous, mind-blowing experience unraveled for me, hopefully for you. We'll see you next week here on Inverse. God bless you.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams,
Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by The Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.